We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Yes. And welcome to another edition of Courtside with Chrissy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, first and foremost, I see that you're sporting a Georgetown t-shirt.
I am.
Is that a Hoya Saxa? Did you know it was Brianna's birthday today?
I did know. I was up to date on why I was wearing the shirt. So yes, it is your daughter's birthday. She's 19? She's
19. Wow. Years young. Oh my God. That's my baby. I'm gonna squeeze her little face today. I can't wait to see her. Happy birthday, Bree, happy birthday, baby.
No shot.
Breezy for threezy. What'd you say?
No shot she's watching this.
No, but you know, I'll save it.
She has a lot for her. She has more pressing matters as a player on Georgetown's basketball
team. Yeah, I'll load up her text messages like I always do and just send it along after. So, happy birthday, Bree.
Yay, happy birthday. So, say happy birthday, Bree, in the comments if you guys are around. Welcome to the stream. As always, I guess not as always, but as of recently, we've been doing this and it's been really fun. So, yeah, drop some comments. Let us know what you guys think. And say happy birthday to Bree and whatever you guys want. We love seeing you guys in the comments. And make sure you follow us at Her Hoop Stats on Twitter. I'm at Gabe_Ibrahim. Christy, wait. What's your we haven't said it in so long.
I know, right? It's all good. Christy W. Scott 51. And make sure you spell Christy Christy, even though, you know, when I get a coffee and they spell it wrong, I still drink the coffee.
Of course.
Especially after these middle of the night games for USA basketball and the Wizards. I'll add that in. You know, USA basketball played at 3 a.m. and the Wizards played at 6. So the extra shot of coffee is just now kicking in for me. So I am very verbose and that's not a normal thing for me anyway. So,
I may not be as verbose because I may have made a mistake I want to sleep for a few hours before the USA game.
It didn't happen.
So yeah. I'm running on about an hour of sleep that I just got right after the Wizards game wrapped up. And I wrote my article for Bullets Forever. But I still have many, many thoughts on everything that happened in the FIBA World Cup and our thoughts on college basketball, because we promised people to talk about it. Maybe there's also WNBA stuff, but we could use a quick break. As Dano said, Gabe, I'm so tired. His wife is sending me some energy drinks that I really like.
There you go. You know,
benevolent
gave some energy drinks, y'all.
Benevolent hoops. I also woke up from my post FIBA nap just now.
Just now. Wow. That's
so. So let's be honest, Christy. Did you stay up until the wee hours of the morning?
I did. And when the game got out of hand.
Which was early.
I laid down for it. It was early. Early in the game got out of hand. They were up 30. So I was like, you know what? They got this. They're going to advance. Let me take a little power nap. And I think I went to sleep. But, you know, it's not good sleep when you're trying to wake up and do things. And so, yeah, I got up and watched the hometown Wizards in Japan taking on the Warriors. And that was fun to watch. So, I mean, when you wake up to basketball or you go to sleep to basketball and you wake up to basketball, it just gives the day a new feel. And I love it. So, yeah, a lot of hoops on the mind, on the brain. So I don't know if I actually slept. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, it doesn't seem like you did, but you're more used to this. You have it. You have this down pat. I have to get more used to not sleeping again at some point, right?
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, that game, luckily for the U.S., was pretty out of hand early on. They end up beating Canada 83-43.
Yeah.
One of the most stifling defensive performances you're ever going to see from any team.
Yeah.
It was from the first minute. Mm-hmm. I think Jewel Lloyd really set the tone. She kept pushing out Canada's guards out like 3 feet beyond the three-point line on all of their handoffs. Everything was just really tough for Canada. And I thought the effort from the United States was really impressive.
Well, it was phenomenal. And I think what you see gel first and foremost on any team at any level is the defense. And everyone talks about, well, when you say the word chemistry, you're thinking offense automatically. Everyone's like, what's the chemistry like? And you're thinking offensively. And that does take some time, but you're going to get that. I mean, you have skilled players at an elite level. What you don't have is the chemistry on the defensive side. And I think that is what you're seeing now becoming more pronounced for the USA team. I think that they are on a string. They're communicative as always, because again, they're on an elite level, but there is timing to defense as well. And I don't think it gets discussed enough. I think we talk about timing of pick and roll actions, flip it or ghost it or whatever, but we don't talk about how are we going to hedge? Like how hard are we going to hedge? How high up? What's the timing of those kinds of defensive actions? And I think we need to talk about that more and put that on some analytics and slice and dice with that. And then I think if you do that with this particular game for USA against Canada, I think what you will see is their efficiency on the defensive end. And it didn't matter who was on the floor.
Yeah.
It was across the board. Like whoever came in, they were on it. And you love to see that kind of leadership on the defensive end. But I think now that they've been together for almost a month now, I think you're really seeing that side of the ball come together.
Yeah, no, they were just all over it. I think Jewel Lloyd played an absolutely phenomenal game.
She did.
Think, as I mentioned, I think Asia and Brianna Stewart, it's it's
not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair. And I don't want to be like that, but it really isn't fair. Just like defensively, and what I think what you're saying is totally true. Like they have continued to ratchet up the defense. I think all those players they're dogs, you know, they all got that dog in them.
They do.
And I think they really pride themselves in defense. Even someone like Kelsey Plum, who's not necessarily, her defense isn't the first thing you think of. She's playing some really good defense too. And it is easier when you have Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart behind you cleaning up everything. And they absolutely were. Canada could not finish at the rim for anything. They couldn't finish anywhere. Like, all right, here are the shooting numbers for Canada.
Yeah.
It's not good. They were 16 of 73. That is about 21.9%. From three, they went 4 of 26.
Whoa-wee.
15.4%. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you want to ascribe the three-point shooting to the United States, but I felt like everything was also rushed for Canada. It was like when they got an open three, they just felt like someone was coming to take this ball away from me.
Oh, yeah.
And they would rush it. But just a phenomenal defensive effort, I think. I mean, you know, you look at the offensive side, it looks good too. Kelsey Plum, 14 points. Wilson, 15. Stewart, 17. Mm-hmm. Alyssa Thomas, 10. Alyssa Thomas was 10, had 10 points on 5 of 5 shooting.
I mean,
it's normal.
I mean, that's how she does it.
It's normal. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's really coming together, and I don't see a team getting within, I don't know, 20. I don't know how much. We'll talk about the China game. The China game was good too.
Yes.
But I don't think anyone comes close to this game.
No, I mean, in that Serbia game, it was a close game, right? I mean, when I say close, I don't mean like a 1-point game. I mean, I think they got it to 5 or 6, though. And they were coming at the USA team with purpose and drive. And it was really fun to watch that game because they weren't afraid. They were just like, listen, we're going at it. We have all these long and lanky players, all 5 spots. We're attacking. And they did that very well. But last year, Serbia only lost to the USA team by 20. So, I mean, you're talking about a gap in score. It is what it is. But I thought that they played a very competitive game against the U.S. national team. And with what you were saying about the defense, I mean, yes, you're going to have Stewie, and yes, you're going to have Asia right there, rim protecting. And then, oh, here comes Bree Jones off the bench. Oh, and here comes Shakira Austin in there swatting flies. Like what else, right? There are no weaknesses in this team in terms of what kind of defense they can present, especially on the interior, and the things that they can take away in terms of rushing those shooters from the outside only to knock in 4 threes. I think that just speaks to the attention to detail on the defensive end, but also the trust, right? Yeah. You heard Becky Hammon say that all through the playoffs for the Las Vegas Aces, like the trust of the defense has to be there. And that's why they won the title. But I think for this U.S. team, I think you have to have that level of confidence in yourself, number one, because it doesn't matter after that, right? Yeah. You have to have confidence in yourself and then also trust and have confidence that your team is moving as a unit.
Yeah. No, and I think absolutely. They did a great job bringing this team together so quickly because they obviously, like, they didn't even have most of their team until 3 days into the tournament,
right?
Like 2 games in. And speaking of one of those players that came late, as Dano points out, Kelsey, I don't know what Sammy Hill did and or said, but it made Kelsey Plum mad. She was like, they were up 40 in the third quarter, and she was still trying to rip the ball out of Sammy Hill's hands and like stepping over her. And that's how she plays every second. She's out there.
I'm not mad at her. Gabe, are you mad at her though?
No, I'm not. It's just, I just want to know. I want to know.
Hey man, leave her alone. Hey, that's Plum Dog. You got to leave Plum Dog alone. And that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't matter what the score is. And I always say, or I've always said, it doesn't matter who you're playing. It matters how you're playing. And if you're playing with that sense of urgency, regardless of the score, I love it. Like, go out there and ball out, compete to the best of your ability. And just because it's a 40-point game doesn't mean you're like, you let things like that slide because you lose your edge. Right, you want to take that edge into the gold medal game.
Plum. No, you have to. You have to practice the full court press. when you're up 40, I definitely think that.
Hey man, hey, you got to work on some things. No, I mean, yeah, it's what it is.
I guess there's still things to work on. They did so. Yeah. Anything else in this USA team? We should talk about Canada too. Canada has had a really nice time. Oh, I did want to bring up one thing for Ariel Atkins.
Yeah.
6 points, 3 of 5 shooting. But what I like is all 5 attempts came within the 2-point line, and they weren't all from mid range. She like really got downhill. I thought she was aggressive in this tournament. Mm-hmm. She also seemed to like pick random like little beefs. I don't know if it's just like the Plum influence. Like she's like,
see, influence.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just like, you know, everyone has that energy right now, but it felt like Ariel like really like got into like more beefs than she normally does in this tournament, but she was getting to the rim. I thought that was awesome. And I think she, you know, obviously defensively, she's always amazing. But I thought she really took charge when she had the ball. And that was great to see in a situation like this where she hasn't done that quite yet with Team USA.
Right. And I think, you know, you're continuing to see the evolution of Ariel Atkins, right? I mean, she won a gold medal in the last Olympic Games, but you also heard what she said prior to this WNBA season about being more intentional and on purpose of getting to that third level and getting to the line a little bit more and not settling for just shooting threes at over 40% clip, I might add. But you want to make sure that you're continuing that kind of evolution. If you're Ariel Atkins, it's not just because the Mystic season is over, the WNBA season is over, that you start working on the things you want to see improvement with during your tenure as a pro player or an Olympian. So with her, I love to see that. I love to see that she's disciplined and focused to getting better at those things that she said that she wanted to get better at. And in turn, she is getting better at that stuff.
No, she really is like one of the players that year in, year out. I don't feel like there's been like a huge leap, because I feel like from the first day she got here, she's been excellent on defense, a pro, and someone you can trust with the ball in their hands. But it just, you continue to see just those little mini jumps, mm-hmm. those mini jumps in her skills and abilities. It's almost like watching a player in 2K get better and better and better. And she's like adding skills in that way.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a big step for her.
Agreed.
Let's talk about Canada for a sec. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have time to talk about Team USA after the gold medal game.
Sure.
But Canada, I thought, had a great tournament, and they are in position now. They're heading to the bronze medal matchup with Australia.
Really?
Again, I'm going to continue to tease that the China Australia game, because I'm sure a lot of people didn't see it. But they are going for their first medal in the World Championships since 1986.
Wow.
So it's been a long time. And this group of Canadian players is really, really talented. Even the non-WNBA players on this roster are still very talented basketball players.
Very.
And I think they had just an excellent tournament, and they've reached a level that they haven't been lately. So I'm really happy to see them succeeding at this level and continuing to grow the game on this side of the world.
Yeah. And I kind of, me personally, wanted to see Australia, USA in the gold medal game. And it's down in Australia. You know, just the whole vibe around that game, I thought was really going to be at a high level. And who knows, Lauren Jackson, you know, making an appearance. Who knows? But anyway, I just think that for Canada, again, you want to see improvement, whether it's individually or collectively as a team or organization or a national team. So not to have been in this position since 1986, I mean, it just speaks to the resilience, right, over the years. And
the investment.
Yes, yes, and the investment. And you have to. I mean, you have to bet on women. That's what I mean. Fun today. I mean, you have to bet on women, and you know, we're not going anywhere. I mean, we're going to continue to work hard, and we're going to continue to plug away. And you know, you got to keep swimming, and that's what it's all about. So it doesn't matter. Like, there's a big gap in time between their successes, but at the same time, this is going to give them confidence moving forward, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
this is going to bode well, especially the kids who are in the pipeline who see this success. And that's going to make them work even harder as well.
No, and I think Canada as a country has been, you know, really investing in basketball on both sides, for men and women.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, and this is true also for Puerto Rico, another country that has invested in basketball for years and years and years, and now seeing some fruits on the women's side. Both those teams, they still invest in the men's side, but they seem to get more from the women's side. And I think that's just because, you know, there isn't, and this is what I always like to tell people about women's basketball, is like, there isn't the sort of widespread use yet. Like, it's still all startups, right? It feels like everything feels like a small business still, and you can still grow your product and not have to break the bank or feel like you're committing right now. Like, look at this Canadian team is not only good, they're young. Like, Bridget Carleton's going to be around. Amy here, she's having an excellent tournament defensively. I think she's grown on offense as well. Naira Fields, you know, all these players are going to be coming back to the team. And so they've built a really nice program in Canada.
Agreed.
And I think them getting the results on the women's side is very cool for them and very good for women's basketball here on this side of the world.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've seen the game go global, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, on both men's and women's sides of the game. And you love to see that. You love to see the continued growth. You love to see women having the opportunity in every single country in the world to compete and to get better and to improve. I mean, that's just, it's life lessons. I mean, we love basketball. We love the X's and O's of it all. But at the end of the day, it's about the Jills and Joes. And I always say that too. It's about the people and the opportunity that they are presented to be their best selves. And I think, you know, this World Cup experience and the Olympic experience, all these opportunities are here, right? To continue to develop.
And then we've got a good question here in the comments. Valerie asks, should Canada get a WNBA team? You know, she brings up the travel issues, but hopefully that's not as much of a problem hey, we can spend the money on the charters for the finals. How much more is it to spend it for the rest of the season? We got some rich dudes out there. Yeah, let the rich dudes pay for it. Okay. If a rich dude's willing to buy you a flight, at least hear him out.
Beyonce, I keep trying to tell you, Beyonce is going to do something. I don't know why. I keep thinking that Beyonce is going to get a team back to Houston. I don't know why. And I know we're talking about Canada, but I know we're talking about ownership, but I don't know what it is about something being in the atmosphere for me. I'm a sensor feeler. I just think
speaking it into existence.
I don't know. I think that's going to happen, but you know, maybe.
Maybe Serena too, but we need a Canadian mogul to make to make this conversation about the Canadian WNBA team. I don't know. I mean, obviously Canada can support a basketball team. I just think how big does this league want to get? Because I think there's a lot of different candidates. I mean, you know, Chiquita just said Houston needs a WNBA team shot, and this goes back to our Beyonce.
Hey, Chiquita.
It all comes back to Beyonce at the end. But I think it would be interesting to have a Canadian team and to continue growing, again, the game in North America.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a lot more basketball investment in South America and trying to grow the game there, too. Not even South America. We can go to the Caribbean. Puerto Rico is not that far. And it's a lovely place that is hopefully going to get better as people continue to work on it.
True.
But, you know, I think it would be very cool to have a team in Canada. But I'm with the people saying that there's some other locales that probably need a team first.
I agree. And Chiquita, oh, shout out. Boom, boom. We're on the same page, baby. I just think that, you know, the continued growth of the league. And we've heard Kathy Engelbert say that by 2025, there are going to be more teams in this league. Mm-hmm. So that's just around the corner. I mean, 2 years ago, we were in the thick of the pandemic. And how fast did that go by? So in two more years, two and a half, three more years, it's going to be nice to see. And I know it's going to happen and I know it's going to be great, but will it be able to be global? And I think that remains a question. But I wouldn't be upset to see a team in Toronto.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be very cool, but I do think the league would probably try to go for a safer bet. I think, you know, obviously seeing how well Vegas worked out, potentially going to markets on that side. I mean, I don't even know. I haven't heard much about like just the city selection since that announcement that you're talking about from Kathy Engelbert. We don't really know where they're going to go, but Canada would be cool. I just don't know if it's like more expensive or whatever. Anything else on the, and shouts to Kia Nurse. We haven't talked enough about her. She was really good in this tournament. It was great to see her back on the court.
Yeah, she was amazing. And you know, when we were out in Vegas and saw her at the practices and everything like that, she was going through a lot of reps just by herself. She was the first one in there. You know, if Plum didn't beat her there, there's two of them kind of maybe the same time they got.
They were definitely racing each other. Time.
But they were early, okay? And they were late, right? They were the last ones to leave out of there. But she was getting in reps like legit like 30, 45 minutes after the team had exited the court. She was in there, you know, getting herself a lather. And I just thought it was impressive. And I told her, I was like, you know what? You look really good. She's like, I'm working really hard. You know, I have the World Cup coming up. So I just want to make sure I'm sharp. So we knew she wasn't going to play in the first round against Phoenix in the WNBA playoffs. And that's why she had the extra time after. So I'm not saying, you know, Asia Wilson, you should have been in there getting in. Yeah, no. But I am saying that she could have left with the team.
Right.
And not put in that extra work and time for herself, but she did. And I thought it was really impressive just to watch how she was working. There were no reps off. Like everything was tight, footwork, exquisite, on it, on task with everything she was doing, the passes that she threw back, on point. She was sharp. So I think it all, it showed up in the World Cup competition where she just looked really, really good. And it, you know, you hate injuries, but you also love to see when players can bounce back and be strong and tough like she was.
I agree. No, I thought it was really, really cool to see her back and see her playing at a high level. And seeing her do the things that she's normally doing. And I think it also got better throughout the tournament. So good for her. Really glad to see Kia Nurse back.
Confident.
Mm-hmm. And then hopefully that translates into some success back with Phoenix. Is she signed? She's signed next year, I believe. Yeah. I think. I'll double check that later. Okay. We'll move on. Let's talk about game of the tournament, game of the night, game of tournament, whatever you want to call it. This was an awesome game. Australia loses to China 59-61. A dominant performance from Han Xu. I'm trying to get her final line here. She had 19 points and 11 rebounds, four of them offensive.
Wow.
And two steals and five blocks.
Working.
In 26 minutes. That's incredible.
She was working. 19 points in 26 minutes. Listen, she is on the young side too. I mean, when you talk about her upside for the league, for the WNBA, but wow, internationally, she really looked like a seasoned vet out there.
Yeah.
Right. And those are priceless. When you have players who have that level of knowledge, but are also confident in themselves because of the work that they've put in to be able to display it mm-hmm. on an efficient basis like that. I don't know, but wow, what a rock fight. 61 to 59.
You know, all right. In defense of these teams, okay. I think it was more good defense than bad offense. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Is that fair? Like, I'm looking at this with rose colored glasses. There was a lot of missed shots, but I thought the defense, it was just like they were playing, they were doing both what the US was doing in that every team had to fight for not only every shot, not only every look, every handoff, to get the handoff, they had to fight to get post up position, to get in the post, to get in the high post, they had to fight. There was so much contact. There's so much ball denial. There's so much pride taken on the defensive end that it was like, I didn't like when people scored because I was like, your defense needs to be rewarded. But I thought it was just an awesome game in terms of defensive execution and just like intensity. Every possession felt massive in that game because there's a ton of there's a ton of Australian fans, obviously, because it's in Australia. Yeah. And the Chinese fans showed out and were awesome. So hype. And they got a lot of emotion out of that Chinese team that we haven't seen yet from them. And it was just it was an amazing experience and atmosphere to see over there.
Yeah, no, it was tremendous. And, you know, for it to come down to one possession, that's crazy, right? But it was like, I mean, I think internationally, whether it's men's basketball or women's basketball, I think that the world measures themselves against the USA team.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, is it balancing out? Okay, yes. And is it being, you know, is there more parity? Absolutely. But I think you want to get to the gold medal game to have that opportunity to challenge yourself against the best, right? Seven straight gold medals for USA women's basketball. So yeah, if I'm either one of those teams or the coach of either one of those teams, I want to see what we do.
Yeah.
Against this juggernaut, this worldwide global juggernaut that is USA women's basketball. So, I mean, they were fighting to the end and they were giving their best effort on defense. And it was, you know, a rock fight. And when I say rock fight, it doesn't mean it was bad. I just think it was like just a grinded out, gritty, it's going to come down to tooth and nail out here. Who's going to fight hardest, the longest? And it was China in this game. And I think the advantage was in the paint. With Han Xu and they're doing her thing with five blocks. I mean, five possessions. You're talking about a 2-point game. So if she got two blocks, I mean, it would have been a different game. Who knows? She was the difference maker clearly on the interior in that game, period.
No, and it took some bravery of Australia to get blocked five times. Because it was like, if I saw the first one, I'm like, all right, we're going to have to find a different way. Someone has to take a mid-ranger. Okay, you take the mid-ranger and you see how that works out for you because I'm not getting blocked like that. But China stuck it through. Si Yuan hits the game-winning free throws right at the end. Sammy Whitcomb, unfortunately, after an awesome game, she played really well, 15 points. Not the best shooting night, but still just doing anything she could for Australia on both ends.
Yeah,
she fouled out on that play. And it was a foul. You know, I'm not going to complain about the call as much as I just wanted to see that game keep going, even though I was delirious at that point and trying. I was like, I don't know what I'm seeing, the color purple, but I'm trying to watch the Wizards game too. Yeah. I was like, I have no clue what's happening. So
yeah, it was fun.
It was like 6 o'clock in the morning and my wife was sleeping. I was like, oh, when Sammy fell, I was like, no,
like, wait. And she was like, wait, what? Woke and up she, like Dwayne Wade sweating. Like, what?
I think she stayed asleep. She didn't tell me that.
She did. Oh, that's good.
So I was like, I yelled to myself like, no!
No. I mean, even though we're stateside, it's like we're still jet lagged. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, by staying up and watching all these games, we love it. But oh my gosh, yeah, it was dramatic, obviously. But I don't know. I give the team from China credit. They did what they had to do to get to the gold medal game in advance to play in the USA. But I know Sandy Brondello and Sammy Wickham and others, I know they wanted to measure themselves up against the USA team.
And Sandy Brondello had a great tournament because we got to hear her in all the timeouts.
Yeah.
She just had like, there's one timeout where she told them like 15 things. And I was like, how did you get all of that out?
Got to be ready. Yeah.
It was like every three words was something that the team needed to do. And I think they executed a lot of her, a lot of what she wanted to do very well.
That's good.
But it was fun to listen to her. She's just like very, very calm and chill on the, but not calm and chill, but like the right, I think she's the right amount.
Direct. Yeah. She was very concise and she got her point across every single time.
Yes.
You appreciate that. That's hard to do. And you don't have a lot of time to get your thoughts together and then get your words together, get your tone together. There's a lot to go into coaching. So.
Yeah, that's it was just very impressive. And obviously she has a lot of experience with those players. Ellen Lauren Jackson. She played a little bit.
Yeah.
That's
what I wanted to see too. I wanted to see Lauren Jackson up against the USA again. Because Google it if you don't know, honey. Because there's a long lineage.
We got to bring back.
Yeah.
We got to see if Lisa Leslie is available for a couple minutes, just for some fun, memories.
It's all love though, because Lisa Leslie named her daughter Lauren. I mean, it couldn't be that much of a problem. Right?
Do you think that's like we're cool thing or like, yeah, no, I hate you. Like I need to think of someone else when I think of your name.
I don't know. But that if I had a really head to head battle with the player, I'm going to name my child. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But Lisa, Lisa, I love you, girl. But but she named her daughter Lauren, but there was like the whole ponytail fiasco where Lauren Jackson removed the ponytail of Lisa Leslie. I digress. But anyway,
it's,
right there would have been like, no, I'm not naming my child after you pull my ponytail out. We're not having that. Anyway, but that's just me. That's just me. Everybody has their own way. I'm not mad at you though, Lisa. I'm not mad at Lauren Jackson either. Wait, move it on.
It's not my ponytail. It's not my ponytail. I don't care. There's a great SB Nation video about that. That they detail everything.
Yeah.
Let's talk briefly though about the matchup between the USA and China. This matchup did happen, and I don't have the score quite in front of me at the moment. I will find it. China looks really, really strong.
They do.
I think they were clearly the second best team in this tournament. I thought they were really, really good. And shouts to Australia for giving them a run. But it'll kind of depend on if Li Ming is available because she got hurt.
Yeah.
And she was a big scorer for them. And I think that really hurt their offense. And they, to their credit, figured out ways around what Australia was doing. But I think a lot of that relied on Hanju being the biggest player on the court. And she still will be the biggest player on the court against Team USA.
She will.
Just a lot more, bigger, I don't know about bigger player, just it's going to be tough moving Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart around is my point.
Yeah, for sure. And I think defensively too, obviously knowing what she can do skill set wise, I mean, she played with Sabrina Ionescu, so like she's going to know some ins and outs, some little intricacies about how to cover her well and kind of contain her and disrupt what she wants to do offensively. And a lot of her stuff, Hanshu stuff, comes in transition. Like, she could knock down that trail three at the five spot. So she can space the floor. So, you have to be aware of where she is at all times as soon as she crosses half court, especially in transition. But just to be aware and crowd her space. And I think, you know, they know, like, we have Mike Tebow's on the bench as an assistant, Kurt Miller, and obviously with the head coach being Cheryl Reeve, they know about her, right? And a lot of it is about skill set and what to try to take away, what to make uncomfortable. So I think they really have to do their due diligence, especially against Hanshu, in this game to take her out of what she wants to do and make it a little difficult for her to get in a rhythm.
Yeah, no, I think they will. I mean, you know, this team is real. And the thing about China, though, is that it's not just a one-person game, you know. It's not a one-person team. It's not just Han. Like, this team has a lot of talent. It's just talent that, you know, mostly plays in China, so we don't see about it. We don't see it as much. But I think this team's really talented, and you have to stop them on multiple levels. So it's going to be a little tough, the challenge to stop Han, but I don't know. I think Asia Wilson will be up to the challenge, or Breonna Jones. If you want to go that route, they can also go that route. But Team USA won by 14 points in their last game. And they had this run in the second quarter that was just, you know, they put their foot down and they said, okay, you're not going to do anything. They ended up winning that second quarter, like 26 to 12. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how long the run was, but it was like 14-0. And just put the game away in that second quarter.
Right.
So if China can stay alive, I think that's the biggest problem with this USA team is they are putting you away. They're putting you away early, and they don't want to mess around. But if you can stay alive through that, then maybe you have a chance. Is there a chance for China?
No. I mean, the pause and the hesitation was me thinking about how well they played defense in the semifinal game against Canada. And they were just a whirlwind. They were just together. So that's always going to be the deciding factor for me, which team can buckle down the longest and the strongest on the defensive end. And right now, from what I've seen, you know, I mean, you look at a team from China, they only gave up 59 points to a great team in Australia. I get it. But at the same time, they have so many weapons offensively that you're going to have to stop. So if they quiet two scores down for the U.S. team, they have eight more that are going to come in and do the same amount of damage, right? They just have the depth and the wherewithal and the experience. And you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. I know in the Olympics, we saw some things, you know, offensively going for that gold medal game. And then the U.S. team got themselves back together and got that win and got the gold medal. But, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. But I think defensively, that's what I'm going to be circling watch for in that one.
I don't think China has a chance to win. They may have a chance to cover, but I don't think they have a chance to win.
What is the cover? What is the cover here?
We're getting Christy into betting. Dano.
Right here.
What's the line? I know he's listening.
Oh yeah, what's the line? Where's Dano? Is he on there?
Yeah, he's somewhere.
I don't know about these lines and things. You're gonna have to help me.
I'm logging in to see if I can find some lines here on FanDuel.
I don't know.
I can't. So I don't know what the line is necessarily. Oh, here it is. It is 20 points, 20 and a half points. So 20. China, do you think China can lose by 20 or fewer points is the question?
No. I think it's going to be decided early, just like last night. Although it was late, or was it early? Whatever. Anyway,
depends on how you define the clock. Yeah.
But I think they're going to come in with a command of the game. They have a task at hand that they want to complete. And Breonna Stewart said it as much right after the game. She said, we're not finished. We still have work to do. We still have one more game. So I think they're still purpose driven. And I think that's dangerous when you have all those dogs, like you say, that are in the kennel waiting for the door to open and then you're going to bust out of there. I wouldn't want to see them coming at me. I know that. That's gonna be, you know, a telling tale how they start that game. That's gonna be the key. How they take control early in that one.
I could see China. I feel like China could script out a first quarter to keep it close, and really have a, if they stick to a tight script and they throw different looks and they have four or five different coverages and, you know, they're throwing the kitchen sink at Team USA. I could see them sticking around for a quarter, making it feel a little hairy, but I think eventually Team USA, those dogs are going to get out.
Yeah.
The dogs will be on the loose.
Loose, man.
And they'll start with it. You know what? I'll make a prediction. They'll start with Alyssa Thomas.
Okay.
It'll be like 18-18 late in the first quarter. We'll get a couple. Well, I guess she doesn't play in late in the first quarter.
Yeah, there's a pattern of substitution for her.
I'll feel it out. But at some point, she's going to make a big play and turn the game into a blowout. That's my prediction.
It's going to be on the engine. Okay.
As Tiger points out, she might be the front runner for MVP. Although Asia has a really good claim.
Wow. I mean, but it's the balance, like, you know, and I know Asia is fantastic. I mean, you get off the plane and she, you know, she was talking about you as you're drinking something, she was talking about the four shots. Right. But then she said, you know, I had four shots of liquid IV when I got here to Australia and came out of the gates and got 20-9. So, I mean, she's dedicated to her craft. She's MVP two times over in the league. I mean, she's won at every level now. And it's going to be hard not to give it to her. But at the same time, what Alyssa Thomas has been able to do in this tournament has been nothing short of phenomenal in terms of all of the things, like the assist numbers, the triple doubles, the, you know, I don't know. She is just tearing it up. She's tearing it up. And she's consistent with it. And this is a team that, you know, like we said, has so much firepower. So for her to stand out in that way in terms of her floor game, I mean, how can you not take a look at that?
Yeah, right. Well, and she's just like completely unleashed. She's just like, there's no, you know, I feel like sometimes you have to rein her in because it's better for the offense or whatever, and you can't. There's going to be the penetration if she goes somewhere. On this team, she's just like, hey, run around, do whatever you want, and figure it out. And so I think she has a pretty good claim. I won't. Do they give out an MVP? They do.
That's a team. Yeah. They do a whole team. Meesterman was on it last time they did it, wasn't it?
No. Yeah. I
think that was for the Olympic Games. Am I wrong?
I don't remember the Olympic game was on. I'm looking at the last time for the World Cup. Actually, I do think. All right. So, yeah. No, wait. Where's the team? Show me the team. Oh, there it is. MVP was Breanna Stewart. The rest of the team was Diana Taurasi. Astu Dor, Emma Meesterman, and Liz Cambage.
See, that's the team I was thinking of. I just remember a collage on the face.
2018. I think definitely Alyssa Thomas should be on that all tournament team.
Oh, yeah.
I want a quick prediction. Australia or Canada for the bronze medal?
I'm going to go with Australia.
Okay.
I think they're going to be mad that they missed the opportunity to advance and play with like some extra added incentive and determination to get that bronze.
Yeah, they did also beat Canada earlier in the tournament.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I'll go with Canada just to be a little different. Let's go Canada.
Just because it's the opposite of what I...
yeah, of course. Do we have team names? We need more team names. This is another one of my things I want to get out there. We need more team names for all the national teams.
Like mascots?
No, just like names. Like Puerto Rico's are La Guerreras. I can't roll my R's, which is a big problem for my Spanish. It's just like the war heroes, essentially. And so, you know, the Opals for Australia.
Oh, yeah.
We have the Cats for Belgium.
Yeah.
I don't think, Team USA doesn't have a name because I think it might make them too.
Man.
The dogs, yeah. Dogs.
Ballers, what?
I just say we need names. It's a very strong tradition, the international game. So if someone wants to come up with them, let me know. Let's talk college basketball. And we didn't really plan this out as much as we hoped because we've been staying up late and doing a bunch of stuff. But I think what my question is just, you know, what is one thing that's sticking out in your mind as we prepare for this season? You know, it could be from a conference, could be from a player, you know, who has been on your mind?
Dawn Staley and South Carolina.
I mean, why?
Well, first of all, I mean, Dawn, man, that's my girl. If you're watching, man, hey, Dawn, shout out to you. First of all, her daily tweets in support of Brittany Griner. Mm-hmm. I mean, that means a lot. And she's definitely not forgotten for us either. But outside of that, I just think, obviously, with winning a championship last year and to have Aaliyah Boston rectify herself, you know, after missing that chip shot the year mm-hmm. before in the championship game, I just think that their journey and their story is still untold. And I think they have a lot still to prove. And not only that, they have the target on their back of being the returning champs, right? And Stanford the year before. I don't know. I just think that it's going to be a really interesting college season for a lot of reasons. Definitely the parity, but also with the NIL deals and all of these new things that are happening for our women at the collegiate level, I think is super exciting. But Caitlin Clark is another one, speaking of NIL. Yeah. So I think it's really intriguing to see what they're going to do. I'm waiting to see what Iowa looks like. Monica Sinano decided to stay for another mm-hmm. year. The Big Ten Media Day is coming up in a couple of weeks. So that's going to be fun just to sit and mill around what that is going to look like conference-wide. But I think for just the whole entire landscape of it, I think it's going to be really interesting with different players in different places now and the transfer portal and players popping up in different places and how well do they fit. Like on paper, it's cute.
Yes.
Cute on paper. Okay. But let's get the game going and see what it really looks like. So I'm kind of anticipating, you know, what all of those changes look like in different places too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. As Tiger points out, $25,000 NIL deal for all South Carolina's players, reportedly, which is awesome. Get that paper.
Yeah.
Get the paper.
Get paid.
Dawn. The
Raiders need to come on and kick in over here. So
I think their South Carolina is going to have a fantastic year because
Dawn's. I agree.
Yeah, you look at their team. I think they'll be back in the championship. And it's hard to see someone beating them. It's not going to be impossible. It's not going to be impossible to beat them, but it is hard to see someone beating them right now, especially, with kind of the uncertainty at the top for a lot of teams. You know, I think a lot of teams that were really good last year may not be coming back in the same manner. So, you know, obviously UConn's going to be missing. Paige Beckers, and we talked about it. It's just so tough for her and for the team and for us as fans.
Yeah.
But you got to imagine that they're not going to be quite at their top level. Louisville lost some really good players. Yeah. Stanford is mostly back. We'll see if they're back in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I would assume that too. I would assume we get back to Stanford, South Carolina, another matchup there because we didn't get that last year because UConn denied us. But I think it's going to be an awesome season. Now, the one thing, my take here is,
okay,
it's about the ACC.
Okay.
So the ACC really has been dominated by Louisville and NC State mm-hmm. for these past few years.
Yeah.
NC State has had won three straight ACC titles. The I think this year is the year that someone else wins the conference. Whether it be, I think North Carolina, they had babies last year. I think those babies grew up a lot in the ACC tournament and in the NCAA tournament. Very and they got much better as that season went on. I think Virginia Tech is a much better basketball team. They obviously lose Asia Shepherd and they lose some other players, but they added a lot of people around that team, like Taylor Soule. Obviously, Ashley Owusu going there adds a different dynamic to this team. And they still have Elizabeth Kitley, who has won the ACC Player of the Year last year. I think this is the year that someone else wins, but I'm not that confident in it because Louisville's really good. And I'm sure NC State's going to be really good still. They just lost, a couple of big pieces for them.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, Virginia Tech and the addition of Ashley Owusu in particular, for me, I'm interested to see what that looks like. I know that they were in College Park last year for the tournament in the first round. And I don't know. I had my eyes on them. I called that game and Kitley was was just really phenomenal in those couple games. And I just think for Kenny Brooks and his staff, I know that they work extremely hard to develop that chemistry. And again, we're talking about chemistry being on the defensive end too. Mm-hmm. I think offense will come, as we've said, but I think defensively it'll be really interesting to see all those key pieces come together and how that looks for them and what kinds of things schematically they'll be able to do on the defensive end with those new pieces. So yeah, I think the ACC is definitely going to be wide open. I mean, NC State has been phenomenal. Wes has done a tremendous job there. And just to win 3 in a row. I mean, people think just because you play, you should win every single year. You know how hard it is to win? You know how hard it is to win 1 or 2? Like 3, come on. So you're really talking about maintaining and sustaining your excellence and your discipline. And I think that NC State can do that again. Yeah. I mean, they could do that again. But I think they will be challenged a little bit more because I think there's more depth in the league. I think there's more, you know, we're talking about Notre Dame and, you know, teams like that who are right there.
Yeah, that one. I was going to bring up Notre Dame, too.
They're right there. So, I mean, you can't just write them in. Okay, well, they've won the last 3, so just write them in this time. No, you know, they're going to fight for it just like they fought for the other 3. It's not easy. And it's not because you want to win, you win all the time. You don't. Okay, so it's a challenge. It is something that, you know, it fuels athletes who have won championships, but it also fuels athletes who haven't won.
Yeah.
Right? In the same way. So it's, again, who will be the strongest, the longest?
No, I think it's going to be a challenge in the ACC. And I love Wes Moore's like whole all shucks thing. I remember him saying that last year. Like, oh, yeah, maybe I may not look as smart next year. I'm like, I know you're kidding. Like there's, so you got some in there. Like they picked up Sanai Rivers. They lost players, but they gained some other players and they obviously have the infrastructure of a great team. But you brought up Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame's going to be really good too. Yeah. I think Olivia Miles needs one more year. And then I think she might be the best player in this conference.
Wow. What do you think she needs to, what is it that will put her over the top?
Just another year of being
just experience.
Yeah, I think it's just experience. I don't think there's, I mean, she already sees the game at such an advanced level as a freshman in college.
Yeah.
And she's strong. I'd like to see her get a little bit stronger for sure. Right. But I think it's just like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, she just keeps doing what she's done. She'll be totally fine.
She's good.
And obviously she's had a great program in Notre Dame. So I expect that growth to continue. I think she may end up being the best player in the conference next year. I don't think quite they're there. And Sonia Citrone, obviously really, really good player. They picked up Lauren Ebo from Texas, another good player.
That's my girl.
It kind of completes their starting lineup really well. Mm-hmm. I think of the teams that I have here of NC State, Louisville, North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Virginia Tech. Those are my teams that I have in the mix. I would just put them probably last just because I know more about the other teams. But we'll see. I mean, you know, Miles can really step up and West Belt has been good. And Citrone, obviously one of the best freshmen in the conference last year.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I obviously have to talk about Miami. That's why we brought this up in the first place.
We're going to ACC. Okay. I see what you did there.
All right. Miami.
Okay.
Dark horse pick to be a factor in the ACC. I think the Cavender twins are going to fit in really well into this roster. They did lose talent, but I think adding those two really plugs up some holes. They have some really good recruits that can come in and contribute early. I think they're a really well-balanced team. Coach L on the men's side has talked about, you know, building up a defense, and Katie Meyer has also talked about this. Building up the defense, building up the attitude first, and then being able to bring in star players, because both teams in Miami were able to do that this offseason. So bring in the star offensive players and have them do work. I think the team can be really good. It may also fall apart. And if they do, you won't be hearing about it as much here on Courtside. But I'm excited for the Canes, and I'm excited just for this conference. I think this conference up and down is going to be really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, I love Katie Meyer. We played against each other in college. Yeah. That's my girl. Hey, Katie, if you're watching, that's my girl. But when you have that level of being counted out all the time, right? You don't consider Miami until they're in the championship of the ACC tournament, like they were last year.
Yeah.
You're talking about a dark horse. They came out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere. Let me not say that, because You always have to give credit where credit is due, but they weren't mentioned as a team that could be in that championship game until they were in it.
Right.
Okay. So just putting it that way, they fought their way there. They earned that with their defense, like you said. And, you know, Katie's getting the best out of her players all the time, on and off the court. I love what she does there. I miss going down there. I've called some games down there, but just the camaraderie and the connectivity that she creates, like the culture that she has for that program is really, really special. So you can see that the buy-in was there on the defensive end. But also, you know, now that you've seen it pay off, that's even going to take you higher, right? Yeah. That's going to give you some more ticks on the ladder because you've fought hard and you proved yourself, right? And although they didn't win it, they really played well in that game. They fought
They fought harder against South Carolina too.
They did.
That type of program. But yeah, ACC Network, call my girl Christy. She did play in the ACC. Despite what Maryland will have you believe. Despite what the University of Maryland will have you believe, she played in the ACC. You guys can get her down to Miami just for a weekend. Come on.
I mean, what the ACC Big Ten Challenge, hopefully. I don't know. Maybe at some point.
But all right, here I do want to bring up one more team before we get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's the team I just mentioned. I want to talk about Maryland. This is one of the most interesting seasons, I think. One of the most interesting rosters, I think, going into the season. And one of the most interesting seasons for Brenda Freeze. I mean, obviously, they lose, you know, they're two star players. We don't have to sugarcoat it. Nope. Ashley Owusu and Angel Reese, you know, both transferred out. And a few other players transferred out, too. Feels like there's a brand new team here. How do you feel about it and going into this season, this roster heading into the season?
Well, that's going to do it for today, everybody. We're gonna talk about it. Okay.
We can just a little bit. So Diamond Miller, obviously, is a player that can be a top WNBA draft pick if she stays healthy. She's not going to be healthy first. I don't know. They were very hairy about the timeline of when she was going to be healthy. This year. If she is, though, she's gonna have a big season because she's a great player.
Yeah.
I really like Cheyenne Sellers. I think she's gonna be a good one. Yeah. I think Abby Myers is gonna be able to compete in the Big Ten.
I like her.
I think their freshmen can probably come in and compete. We'll see. But I'm it's very interesting to think of Maryland this year because it is like they are brand new, but still trying to contend for that title.
Okay, I'm woo-sawing myself. I'm just being real. This is totally live. So anyway, I'm going to woo-saw myself and say what I have to say. And so for me, every year is a different year anyway, right?
Yeah,
every year, okay. And I'm just going to tell it like I'm going to tell it, all right? Every year is a new year. Regardless of if you bring everybody back and there are a couple new pieces or you have not as many people back and you have a lot of new pieces. I get that. But you're going to have that challenge every year is trying to mesh what you have skill set wise together.
Mm-hmm.
So Brenda Freeze is a master at that. She's already been able to do that several times. She's had players be injured. I mean, they had six players that time they went to the Final Four in practice. They barely could practice. But somehow they got it to the Final Four. Come on. I am not worried about what Brenda Freeze and her staff will do this season with all the new faces and the new pieces and getting Diamond Miller back, meshing with a new and experienced Cheyenne Sellers, meshing with a healthy Faith Masonis. Like, those players know what it takes to win. And they're going to guide the new players that are in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will that take more time than it would if you had everyone back and you had that continuity? Absolutely. But is it impossible? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. Especially when it comes to Brenda Freeze, who has proven herself in those kinds of situations where she's had to really manage and get the best out of her players. And that's what she's been able to do over the course of her 20 years on the sidelines. So I'm not overly concerned. what the reasons why the people left, I don't care about that.
No,
they're not there. We're not going to talk about that. The transfer portal is what it is. NILs are what they are.
We have a great episode about it a few months back.
Yeah. And that's, you can go back and look at it because we're not going to. Ooh, I'm a woosah again. Let's go woosah down. But no, but for me, I just think that, you know, it remains to be seen. Like for every team that's playing this season, it remains to be seen what teams end up being like in terms of their personalities. And I think it is something intriguing because it is a lot of new pieces. But that doesn't mean like, oh, woe is me. If you're Maryland, it means let's see what we can do.
I'm trying to think.
Every day's a new day.
I'm trying to think of where I would have them in a preseason power rankings. That's not what we're doing today. I'm not going to ask you to do that, Chrissy. Don't worry.
Yay.
I'm just thinking about where I would have them. I don't know. I mean, I think you got to put Iowa in front of them just based on what they did last year. I think Ohio State won the regular season title.
Yeah.
So and they brought back most of their team.
And Indiana also.
And Indiana. How many years has Grace Berger been in college?
She, not as long as Allie Patberg was.
Allie Patberg
was pushing 8 years. She was like 24 years old. But that's my girl. Hey, Allie.
Allie, you should go. You should go to grad school. Never leave school. School's the best.
Yeah, stay. I would have stayed too.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Get in there.
Good for Grace Berger. But Grace Berger, Mackenzie Holmes is back.
Yeah.
That's a really good team.
Yeah.
Nebraska had their moments last year, and Jazz Shelley's a very good player.
And Alexis Markowski too.
Yeah, ooh, Markowski.
She's a killer. Don't sleep on her. She's going to have the year. I think out of all the ones, the young ones in their sophomore seasons, oh my God, I can't wait to watch her play. Well, she is a flat out baller.
I'm interested in this conference is really cool too, but I do think I'm going to have to go with Iowa at the top. And then but I feel like everyone else then is kind of in a group. I mean, maybe Ohio State's a little bit, you know, more stable than Maryland. Maybe Indiana's a little bit more stable, but definitely you look at the talent. Mm-hmm. I think Maryland matches up with anybody, not only in this conference, but pretty much anywhere outside of Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, I know Kateri Poole left Ohio State and she's at LSU now, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
I think so. I don't have that in front of me, but I believe so.
So, I mean, everybody's moving and shaking. I mean, when it's a lot of players, it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? When it's a couple, but they're key pieces, that makes a difference too to your chemistry. So I think for everyone, this time of the season is an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing what you have in terms of your depth. You're seeing what you have in terms of your go-to players. You're seeing what you have situationally, whether it be on defense or offense. And you're running through a lot of scenarios right now, trying to figure out what this team that you have in front of you is going to be like and who you can trust and who you can depend on to be consistent. Who are your leaders? Who emerges as the vocal leader? Who emerges as, you know, the non-verbose leader? But you have to figure out all of these things while you're in this portion of the calendar year.
Start of basketball season. September 30th.
Yeah.
We're here. October's here. We are starting basketball season.
I love it.
I'm really excited. Yeah. I guess should I tell people my news before we head off?
I've been waiting and I didn't want to spill the beans. So you go ahead and spill all those beans, honey.
Well, I'm coaching at the local high school, Meridian High in Falls Church, Virginia. I'll be the assistant JV coach. I'm really, really excited. I'll be coaching. We're doing a lot with the JV and varsity because the teams are very together. But I have actually been roped into head coaching duties for the JV game this weekend because everyone else is out of town. And one of the other assistant coaches was supposed to be there got stuck in Florida. With the hurricane.
He's okay. Lord have mercy. I was going to ask that next. So good. I'm glad.
He's okay, but it's just he's stuck there. So.
Oh, no.
I'm head coach. If anyone has any advice, let me know.
Do you need an assistant?
No.
Okay, shoot. You know, I would make my way over there and, you know.
Christy, if you were there, you would absolutely have the head coaching job.
No, I'm a good assistant. I am a good teammate. There's no delineation. We're all in the same squad. We're just all there to help. That's it. But if you ever need me, I'm, you know.
I will be relying on your knowledge very often.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to be joining the coaching ranks. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how much the big talk I say on this podcast. But what I think coaches should do is going to come back to bite me in the butt.
Oh, yeah, talk about staying up late at night. Oh, you'll be watching some film, honey. You're going to be up late and get those energy drinks going.
I know.
Get you some.
I've been so stressed. One of the reasons I could sleep is because I've just been stressed. I've been very excited. I'm like, I want to get there and just do it.
That's so good. You're going to be a fantastic coach. First of all, congratulations. That is amazing. The kids are going to be so grateful to have you there, and you're going to have a great year. And I may just pop up randomly to a game and have a pom pom or something like that. You know, some popcorn and some cranberry juice or something for you.
And sitting courtside from the boys' high school.
Meridian High School.
Also, the high school is so nice. I didn't know they had high schools that nice. I didn't go. I don't know. The kids now grow up in a different. My high school was built in 1928, and it has not changed all that much.
Oh my!
That high school is very nice.
Yeah, it's cool up here in the DMV. You know, look after our babies up here. These babies are well taken care of.
They have a coffee shop inside the high school.
Oh well, wait a minute. Yeah, just a memo on that.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening? All right. But I'm very excited, and thanks to people who said congratulations in the comments, and thanks for joining us, hanging out. I'm about to sleep for at least 6 hours right now,
and I'm gonna have a birthday dinner with the birthday girl.
Brianna.
Yay, we're coming to see you, baby. It's birthday girl, Brianna. Anyway, it's been a pleasure to be with you guys today. Congratulations again, Gabe, on your new coaching gig. That's gonna be so much fun. To listen to your stories throughout the season, yeah. I'm sure they'll be immense.
I hope they're good.
They will be good.
In wins.
It's all good. Any bad day coaching is you know better than any other good day. Anyway, yeah, that's what I like to say too. But we don't have to get out of here. We do have to get out of here.
yeah, we don't have to go home.
We don't have to go home. I see you winding me up, Gabe.
I didn't wind you up.
Jumbling up, messing about, jumbling up my stuff. Okay. We do have to go home. We got to get up out of here. The lights are off on courtside. We got to skip on out of here. Gabe has to go coach. I got to go to a birthday dinner. But guess what? We'll be back next week with more Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We will see you guys next time.
See ya. Bye. Bye.